Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score Baseball insider Bruce Levine, and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I'm David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball like we do every Saturday. This week, discussing steel reinforcements for the Cubs and whether the White Sox look worthy of your time this season. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Morning, David. Yeah, that's a great lead-in that you had, reinforcements for steel.
Well, that's the story.
It really is. I mean, it's like Cub fans, you know, all of a sudden they see steel grabbing his leg and they go, wow, first game of the year, you know, we're losing our number one pitcher.
I said it yesterday morning, and it just keeps echoing in my head. Welcome to Cubdom, Craig Council, because the first day, the worst-case scenario, you have your ace grab his leg and leave the game in pain. We're still not sure about what that will mean. The Cubs, I haven't released or shared information from the MRI, which they had done on Friday. And so we wait and we wonder, and I think a lot of people worry, what does this mean for this Cubs season that started with so many expectations and still can be very good? We don't know. Don't want to overreact, Bruce, but that is the temptation.
312-644-6767. That's where you can find David and me every Saturday morning on text or phone. And David, when you look at the Steele situation, you know he's going to miss some time, okay? I would say the minimum, unless he jumps up today and says, you know what, it was just a cramp, I'm fine, I'm ready to go. The minimum is 3 weeks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The maximum, we don't know. So we're not doom and glooming this because we don't have the information yet. But when the manager says after the game, you know, it is a strain, okay, number one, not a cramp, then you automatically – and saying IL and missing some time, you are preparing for step two. What is step two for the Chicago Cubs if their ace is on the shelf?
It's a great question, and I'm sure people want to weigh in on the text line, or you can call us and let us know. So we're going to answer that and address that in detail. We're also going to talk White Sox because Garrett Crochet lasted longer than Justin Steele did on opening day. Who would have thought that? And he was really magnificent in his first career start for the White Sox. They lose 1-0. The White Sox hitters haven't begun the season yet. They get 3 hits and haven't gotten to second base. But we're going to talk about the Sox. We're going to effort to get some guests on today before 11 o'clock. We're out of here. And we're going to hear from you, the fan, about what your experience might have been like at Guaranteed Rate Field. Big crowd, good crowd, 33,000 people. What did you think of the first sampling of the Chris Getz era, if you will? But that was a loss. They lost cleanly, and that is, I think, a progress in itself. But, Bruce, let's go back to your question, because it is the big one that looms over the Cubs season right now. If it is a month, we can speculate and look at some projections in a moment, but if it is a month or so, are the Cubs better off in putting Drew Smyly back in the rotation, bringing up Hayden Wesneski to fill that spot in the rotation, or, which I think is maybe the highest risk and maybe biggest reward, Ben Brown was lights out in spring training. Is he a guy whose time is now because of the injury to Justin Steele?
I know what I would do, but they haven't asked me yet.
I'm asking.
Well, they might ask me later.
They might,
today.
Yeah.
I'm a Ben Brown guy, okay? I'm looking for the big arm. I saw, and again, it was against the Brewers at the end of the spring training, and there were only 3 regulars in the lineup, so you have to couch your motions when you watch. But I watched 97 coming out of the hand pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Ben Brown. I'm watching a mound presence. I'm watching a guy they wanted to bring up at the end of last year, but because of a problem with an oblique, they weren't able to bring him up in September. They wanted that big arm there. He's a very confident kid. Why don't we take a listen to Ben Brown talking a little bit about how confident he is when it comes to being a big league ready pitcher.
Yeah, I know I could pitch in the big leagues for all 30 teams. I know I belong there, and I just know that I just have to wait for my opportunity. And, you know, I got to control what I can control. You know, there's nothing wrong with dreaming the day after a start that you might get called up. But, you know, once bullpen day rolls around and you have to get ready for your next start, I want to be locked in. I mean, if I can, I'll be a AAA All-Star. I'll be the best pitcher there is in AAA. That's fine with me. I just want to pitch and be myself.
So that was Ben Brown during spring training. That was Ben Brown when he was really pitching at a high level, correct? So that was Ben Brown before everybody wanted to know, are they going to go to Ben Brown because of the Justin Steele injury? Bruce, it's a good point, and I think they could go that direction. I wonder, though, if they're going to maybe go a more conservative route. If they ask me, this is probably what I would suggest. Drew Smyly, who pitched in the opener in relief and got the loss, I believe, but Drew Smyly has a history. He made 23 starts last year. He's a career starter. That is the most seamless transition. Put him in the left-handed slot in your starting rotation. Bring up Hayden Wesneski to be the swing guy, and maybe a little disruptive, but he's played that role before. Maybe a spot start here or there if you're going to continue to try to rest Shota on every sixth day or fifth day. And then leave Ben Brown down at AAA to continue to build his resume as the next can't-miss guy, because I think you run the risk of bringing him up, and he might be lights out, and he might be terrific and as good as he just said he would be. he's a big fan.
Yeah.
Or if he struggles, you risk stunting his development and growth and giving him more adversity quicker than you want to.
See, you know, David, is that baseball 2014 or 2024?
That's a good question.
Because 2024, you've already weakened your bullpen by Assad having to start instead of Tyone, okay? You want Imanaga to have extra days because he's learning how to be a starter every 5 days as opposed to six in Japan. And if you bring Smyly in as a starter, then you have two bullpen pieces that you thought you'd have pitching in the rotation. So weakening your bullpen, is that baseball 2024, high IQ baseball-wise, or is that 10 years ago?
It's a good question, Bruce, and I would ask it with another question, which I know drives some people crazy, but how long is he going to miss? And does that affect...
Let's say it's going to be a month.
Okay, if it's a month, I think you probably are looking at a month of him ramping back up. How many starts is he going to miss? If you're looking at that chunk of time, it starts to get more significant, and maybe you do take a more aggressive approach, because you can't start the season in a hole. And you know what? This schedule permits that, makes that possible, because the quality of the opponent in the first month of the season.
Here's the other thing. The last, I don't know, what would you say, 7 to 10 years, baseball fans really know their farm systems better than they ever did in baseball.
No question.
So is it time for both the White Sox and the Cubs fans to find out if these guys are really prospects, or they're just guys that happen to be in their system?
Prospects or suspects?
Yeah, but again, is Ben Brown someone to believe? If they believe in him, they believed he was probably ready the end of last year, why not now?
It's a fair question, and I think that under different circumstances, if the Cubs were unsuccessful maybe in getting Shota to come and sign, maybe if they weren't able to look at the situation the way they are, maybe Ben Brown would be in most rotations across the league.
Right.
The other thing about it, though, Bruce, is we can't forget, I wonder how the Justin Steele timetable is related or in conjunction with the Jameson Taillon timetable.
Right.
You've got two missing starters now, and you're a team that entered the season as the favorite in the division, and now does that mindset affect how aggressive you want to be or how conservative you're going to play it? I'm not sure. A lot depends on how long Steele misses, which was the question yesterday on the Mullen Haw Show. Did Dr. Shane know? And Dr. No is an orthopedic surgeon at Midwest Orthopedics at Rush. And this is how he addressed the range of potential time that Justin Steele could miss.
Yeah, so grade ones, usually we're thinking about a couple weeks or so, 2 to 4 weeks, something in that range. Grade two, I would say probably something in the neighborhood of 4 to 6 weeks. And grade three, we typically think about 6 weeks and longer. It could be 6 to 12 weeks. Could be sometimes it could be longer than that. So I think we're hoping that it's going to be a lower severity grading on that. You know, but there are also some hamstring injuries that once in a while require surgery. And I think the good news is, based on the location of where he was feeling, obviously not looking at the MRI, that it doesn't look like one that is likely going to need any kind of surgery.
Well, that was interesting. Dr. Shane Noe from Midwest Orthopedics at Rush, Bruce, didn't necessarily paint a positive picture, but it is what it is.
Let's explain very quickly, and most of our listeners are so on top of things, they don't need it, but I'll quickly give this little insight, and that is, why does it take that long to come back from a hamstring? The reason is that if a pitcher does not feel or doesn't have the use of their legs totally under them, then there's a significant history of pitchers injuring their arms by altering their deliveries because of the injury. So that's why when it comes to a hamstring, it just can't be, well, you know, I'm still feeling it a little, but I'm going to go out there. No, they don't allow that anymore. You cannot be feeling it a little, because that's how you end up altering a career like Rick Sutcliffe back in 1985,
right,
when he was master of the universe after 84, coming in with the Cubs, winning 16 out of 17, and being the Cy Young Award winner. And then in 85, tearing a hamstring running to first base against Atlanta early in the year, coming back too soon and altering his pitching and actually hurting his arm, never being quite the same pitcher, still a very good pitcher for the rest of his career, never Rick Sutcliffe again.
Question worth asking, and you brought it up before the show, and I don't know the answer to it, but I think it's worth addressing. Maybe people are wondering the same thing. Justin Steele, in his last outing of spring training, was hit in the left knee with a line drive, a comeback. I remember we were worried about how he would come back from that. You suggested maybe pushing him back. He made the start. That left knee now has, if that's still sore, it could be. Now he's got a left hamstring. Was he favoring the left leg? Was it affecting
it's,
the way?
It's a fair question.
I don't know if it contributed at all to the hamstring strain.
I haven't even seen it reported, okay? And again, the reporters and the Cubs are outstanding, but because the Cubs said it was insignificant and he was going to throw his side session, which he did last Tuesday, and he did fine, they ignored it. But again, it's worth asking the question, was he favoring the leg because there was still some soreness in the knee, okay?
That's what I wonder, because athletes are creatures of habit, and the pregame rituals include obviously stretching and whatever you do to get ready for a start. And you wonder if, look, we're all, if he adjusted his stretching regimen or because of the knee situation, you just don't know if he was favoring it or not.
People are going to say, hey, he was dominant for 4 2/3 innings before the injury, okay? But do we know whether or not it was still bothering him, and whether he was feeling it, whether there was any type of fatigue?
Because what he was doing was he was making an athletic play, which forced him to use muscles in an action that he doesn't typically use when he's dominating for 4 2/3. And it's in that context that you wonder, was he fully stretched? Did he stretch differently? Was the knee affecting the hamstring or whatever? Because everything is related when you're talking about getting ready for a start. I think that's something that would be worth addressing. Justin Steele didn't address that postgame, but he wasn't asked about it either. So I just something
I guarantee
to wonder about.
You, everyone will say no.
Yeah.
Okay. And really, in retrospect, even if it is yes, what's the point?
Right.
We're past it.
We're
okay?
past it. Whether you can't it
was
change
a,
it.
Whether it was a mistake or not is irrelevant right now. The point is, you're dealing with your top pitcher, one of the top pitchers in Major League Baseball, being out likely for a month at least.
And you wonder what that will mean, and let us know what you think. 312-644-6767, the Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's start the conversation with Dave, who is in Slinger, Wisconsin. Good morning, Dave. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
How are you doing?
Great.
Well, what will it take for the Cubs to win it this year, to win the Central? And I know today you're playing the defending champion Texas Rangers. What will it take for them to go all the way and win the Central? What do you think?
Thanks, Dave. Cubs can still be the favorites. Cubs can still win the division, Bruce. I think it's going to be more difficult if you are trying to do that without your ace for 6 weeks, without your number two starter for 4 weeks. They are not starting the season with ideal health, but it's a very long season, and the Cubs do have pitching depth that Jed Hoyer was praising before this happened on Thursday.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if those guys are able to stand up to it. And again, there are guys, there is depth, there is major league experience there. How good are they going to be? And again, will Adbert Elsley be the answer all year long? A healthy Adbert Elsley, both physically and mentally.
Tough start for him.
Going, yeah, well, gave up a home run.
It's baseball.
It was an ugly pitch. He was ahead on the count.
Yeah, he was ahead on the count, and it was not the pitch he probably would want back. That was not that was a situation. They shouldn't have had the lead because that was a foul ball before that Michael Bush scored on. Good hustle. How about that? That was a good hustle.
Yeah, that was.
And
great
then play. They have Elsley, and then at that point you thought, okay, this is going to be the Rangers' night. This is going to be the Rangers finding a way to win a game the way they did so often last year. Bruce, we got to get to a phone call because Rich in LaGrange Park has a question I wanted to address. He's got an interesting name to ask about. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Good morning, sir. Good morning. Yes, I was going to say people were talking about Cade Horton being the next guy up before Ben Brown, whatever happened. I mean, I know he's still down there, but why wouldn't you give him a shot first?
Thanks, Rich.
Time in the minor leagues. He needs experience. I would say if this was June, I think he'd be in the conversation.
Really? Yeah. Already?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they look at Horton, and when I say they, scouts that I talk to, not people in the Cub organization, they look at Horton as the real deal. Okay, Brown too, but Horton, they feel, is a top of the rotation, two or three pitcher once he's ready to pitch in the major leagues. Okay,
it just bears repeating the question at this point. And I asked Jed Hoyer about this Thursday before this ever happened when he was on the Mullin Haw show. Does this make you feel any differently about the Cubs not pursuing Jordan Montgomery? And does this, obviously it's easy in retrospect to look like, oh boy, they would be all set and even better prepared. But did you hear Jed's explanation and did you think that it did make sense given the fact that it's basically announced that they believe in their depth and maybe this isn't the year to overspend on a free agent like Montgomery?
And his answer was?
Basically saying that. Let's hear what Jed had to say on Thursday morning when we talked to him on the Mullin Haw show.
Well, I'd say on the depth part, the game has changed so incredibly much. I think when you look at the way it used to be on opening day, you have your five starters and you probably hope those guys would throw 900 to 1,000 innings. And, you know, in today's world, that's just not reality. You know, there's a lot more injuries. There's a lot more short starts. You know, you're going to get down to starter 8, 9, 10, 11 for sure. And so knowing that, I think the depth of your pitching is just so critically important. You know, if you don't have real pitching depth in today's game, you're really just hoping you get lucky with injuries and avoid them, because almost every team is going to face what I just said. And I think given that, I feel really good going into it. It's something we didn't have for a long time. I think we've built it up and I think we're proud of it. And I think it will help us at some point this season. And, you know, when it does, it's not going to be a great moment to be candid. You know, we're going to have an injury that's going to force us to do that, or we're going to have someone that's not performing, but that's inevitable. That's the nature of baseball in 2024. And we have to be prepared for that. And I think we do have the young pitching to withstand that.
That's the answer.
Yeah. And again, Horton, you know, people I talk to in the organization feel by June or July, he's going to have enough experience without injury or setback to throw out there. And I think he'll be needed. I think both him and Brown will have to be a factor for the Chicago Cubs in 2024. It's just, it's inevitable. And again, when you have these big arms and they say they're almost ready, you have to be prepared to throw them out there and find out what you got.
They will throw out Kyle Hendricks out there today against Cody Bradford. pregame right here on The Score at 5:30. The White Sox will counter on the south side with Michael Soroka, makes his White Sox debut against Kenton Maeda for the Tigers. The Tigers shut out the Sox 1-0. They have some good starting pitching. They're excited about Javi Baez manufactured that first run, and it held up. And we will talk more White Sox when we come back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, 9 to 11 every Saturday morning with David Hall, Bruce Levine, talking baseball, talking Cubs, talking our reaction to opening day when we come back on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
The 0-2. Froze him with the fastball. Garrett Crochet.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, what a performance. Six innings. Crochet just dealing. Strikeouts, no walks, and in control the whole way.
You talk about the mound presence of Garrett.
What's there to talk about? He's 6'6". You know, he's confident. He comes right at you. He's not afraid. You know, he mixes pitches. He's got weapons to get people out. So he stood up. He stood out there like a man today and did his job.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, David Hart, Bruce Levine, until 11 o'clock. Thank you to NBC Sports Chicago for that highlight about Garrett Crochet, the man of the moment on Thursday's opening day at Guaranteed Rate Field. Crochet was outstanding, and now joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is Garrett Crochet, CircaLasVegas.com. Good morning, Garrett. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you all for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on our show. It's great to talk about what your performance was like on Thursday. Let's start there. What went right? How did you do it? And what was your reaction to everything?
Yeah, so for me, when I'm getting ahead of guys, I feel like I have the ability to control the count and I have the ability to control the game. So it kind of started there, and I was able to keep that going throughout the rest of the game. But the emotions were running high all day and into that night. Didn't get much sleep because I was still kind of riding that adrenaline, but very excited to get the first one out the way.
Well, I don't know if I owe you an apology, but I certainly bristled you a little bit on Thursday when I asked you the question about whether you think, is this going to be type of an opener situation? Or, you quickly blew me off and said, yeah, I'm a starting pitcher. Move on. You proved your point pretty well on Thursday. What has given you the confidence and the ability to step it up like you have, and just your determination to be who you were for sure on Thursday?
Yeah, it all kind of just started with the work that I put in this offseason. That's generally where my confidence has come from in the past, knowing that I've done everything I could leading up to the moment. And at that point, nothing else is going to change the outcome. I've already done everything I could with my preparation, so now it's just going out there and performing and doing it. And when it comes down to throwing strikes, I've got the confidence in my stuff. So it's really just filling up the zone and kind of letting the hitter dictate how the game's going to go. Takes the pressure off myself, and I feel like I'm able to kind of just put it entirely on the opposing team.
Well, you threw 87 pitches, and 61 of them were strikes. Both numbers extremely impressive. I think obviously you had the control and command, but Garrett, 87 pitches did exceed what a lot of people thought you would be on the mound for. And I just wonder, when you go start to start, in your mind, did it exceed expectations? And in your mind, what's reasonable to expect from you each turn in the rotation?
You know, I tried not to get too far ahead of myself with thinking about what my potential limit would be for the game. You know, things were going well, and like you stated, you know, I was kind of controlling the zone, so it was up to Pedro and Ethan to kind of extend my leash a little bit once they saw that I was kind of in command of the game. And I'm thankful that they did, and it worked out well for myself. Now I just got to kind of keep building going forward.
Garrett, I think people kind of forgot what you were supposed to be to begin with when you were drafted because of COVID, because of a Tommy John surgery, because the White Sox have had so much success going even back to Mark Burley and Chris Sale bringing their number one picks. Well, in Burley's case, not a number one, but certainly somebody on the rise, bring him in and using them in the bullpen first before they let them loose as starting pitchers. I think history did you a little bit of disservice knowing that you were drafted, you know, with every intention. The White Sox said, this guy's going to be a dominant starting pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Right, yeah. Obviously, with COVID, you know, having only thrown, I believe, across college, and with the White Sox, I think I threw 9 1/3 innings, so it was really tough without that inning space. But I suppose the same could be said for this year. You know, Chris and Pedro really put a lot of faith in me, and really showed me early on in the offseason that the opportunity was mine to go out and grab. I just had to put the work in, and that's when it all comes down to my off season. You know, I felt like I had a great one. I felt like I was able to kind of return to form as I was in 2020, pre flexor strain, pre Tommy John, and the stuff is really showing that so far. So for me, it was, like I said, how I always envisioned myself. It was just on me to put the work in and to kind of keep building going forward. Obviously with the 5-day routine, you know, I've got to continue to monitor it throughout the season. But so far, so good. I feel like I've been monitoring the workload very well. And it's just kind of like you said, it's start to start at this point. I try not to put too many expectations on myself. Obviously, I expect the world of myself. But like I said a second ago, if I'm putting the work in, I know that the results are going to kind of take care of themselves.
Talking with White Sox left-hander Garrett Crochet here and Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine until 11. So, Garrett, now the routine is something you start to fall into. Now is something that I'm not sure if you have experienced. It was your first career start. You hadn't started since Tennessee. You are a first-round draft pick, and that always comes with the label of expectation. What do you do now in terms of the next 4 days to prepare? And who are you learning from? Because it's a very young staff, and typically you'll have guys on that might have a veteran say, well, who, you know, this is the way it's done. Who do you go to for those kinds of things to learn how to use the time wisely?
I wouldn't say it's too young of a staff in terms of experience. You know, Soroka's done it for a while, and he's done it at a high level. Fetty's done it for a while. Flexen has as well. And those guys I've been leaning on since the first day of camp. So even though I wasn't fully starting in spring training, I was coming out of the pen a little bit. I was still treating those games like starts. So for me, I was really able to dive into the 5-day routine aspect of things and kind of pick their brains and figure out my lifting schedule and how to monitor the throwing workload in between days. So I feel like I've kind of been on a good roll with that lately, and now it's just kind of continuing to monitor and adding when I feel I need to and taking some back when I feel I need to. But so far, things have been responding very well. Like I said, I've been on this 5-day throughout spring training, so it's really just kind of becoming second nature at this point.
Mental skills and baseball athletes, where do you fall in on that as far as dealing with baseball psychologists, therapists, people that are there for support? What is that like for you? I know, when you hear negative connotation questions, you quickly put them to the side because obviously athletes need to stay positive. How do you do that and where do you go?
Yeah, I more so go to my teammates for that thing, and I really lean on them for that, for their support. And I feel like everybody goes through it at some point. You know, I've gone through it in my time in the big leagues thus far. And for me, it's really just not giving those thoughts a chance to breathe and just continuing to put the work in. Like I said, that's where my confidence comes from, and I feel like I've got a strong will when it comes to that sort of thing. So I just continue to work and continue to put those thoughts to rest and just let things work themselves out.
Garrett, Martin Maldonado comes to Chicago with a reputation for being a great handler of pitchers, a terrific defensive catcher, and at this stage of his career probably is one of those guys that you would, you know, benefit from his experience. What's that rapport like, and how would you describe his importance in with this year's pitching staff?
Right. So opening day was actually only my second time throwing to him, but I feel like we've already got the chemistry down fantastically. His game calling is unparalleled, and I feel like behind the plate, he's such a big target that you got a lot of confidence that if you throw it in the dirt, he's going to keep it in front. He obviously has the experience of playing in high leverage games all throughout his career and catching incredible pitching staffs. So for me, that's a guy that I'm ready to lean on and ready to pick his brain. And I was able to do that throughout spring as well, but definitely as the season goes on, I'll be able to do that a lot more. But for our pitching staff as a whole, I think it's going to do wonders.
You find out what people are really like in negative situations. The White Sox went through a lot of them last year. What can you say that you learned that is becoming a positive that might have been a negative with the 2023 White Sox and the way that thing went down?
Yeah, so I really wasn't in Chicago for a ton of that, and probably 60% of our roster wasn't either. So it was really easy for us going into spring to turn the page. And, you know, for me, going back to college, going back to high school, it was always kind of a so what next game kind of mentality. And I feel like that's what we kind of embody as a clubhouse. You know, for us, it's not to kind of brush you off again, speaking like you were earlier about the question yesterday, but for us, it's kind of we don't really let that negative talk really take hold. It's just yesterday was yesterday and today's today. Let's separate the two and let's move on and keep getting better and keep improving as the season goes on.
Well, I'll tell you, Chris Sale and Mark Burley used to bristle at my questions too. So you're in really good company moving forward. Thanks so much.
And Garrett, you know what? If you want to bristle some more, you're welcome here anytime replacing Bruce on a Saturday morning. So I do it every Saturday morning. But really appreciate your time. Got to ask you this before I let you go, though. Did you stay up last night and watch your Tennessee Volunteers advance to the Elite Eight?
No, I didn't see it. I checked the box score this morning, so I'm fired up for them. You know, they've been playing good ball. And speaking with some of the guys in the clubhouse, you know, they have a mentality that you could see when you're watching on TV, and they're Bulldogs out there, and it's awesome to be an alum from there and watching their baseball team and their basketball team flourish as they have as of late. So I just hope they keep going.
Great debut. Keep up the great work. I'd really appreciate your time this morning.
Of course. Thank you all for having me.
Garrett Crochet, Sox ace, Bruce. The Sox ace, lefty. Looking good, sounding better, and boy, it was nice to talk to somebody who had the kind of game that he had in a loss, 1-0, but you know what? It wasn't on him.
Yeah, and he's got, you know, a focal point with me now. He can just use me as a chip every time he goes out there. It was great to see him dominate out there. It was, you know, David, the one thing is, you know, he's successful in that outing, but just the way that he went out there, the confidence that he showed, the mound presence was impressive.
No doubt about it. He was dominant, he was in command, and he had control. We'll continue to talk about the White Sox next on Inside the Clubhouse of Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
High and inside.
Time for some chin music.
Hey, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
I just tried to put myself in their shoes and see the game as a fan myself. If I was spending my hard-earned money to come to a ball game, right? I don't want to hear about it anymore. I just want to see it on the field. I'll come watch and I'll make a decision whether I like it or not. And that's there's nothing I can say here, you know, that is going to, you know, prove to them something that we haven't done yet on the field. So we got to go out there and play good baseball, you know, and play hard baseball, and don't take anything for granted, and, you know, show that we care, and I think that's what everybody wants to see. But there's no use talking about it. I mean, I'm not going there anymore. I've put myself in their shoes plenty of times.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's a 9.5 Triple E.
What's that? The shoe size?
He put himself in their shoes.
Okay. I didn't know if you were saying that or he put his foot in his mouth. I don't think he did that.
No, I think that's the best soundbite I've ever heard from Pedro Grifol.
So chin music typically may come in high and tight because of something somebody said that we object to. This, to me, is almost the opposite. I think that some people might have objected to Pedro Grifol saying he didn't have a message for the fans and saying what we just heard. But Bruce, I think it was, as I put the other day, it was maybe the smartest thing Pedro Grifol never said.
Yeah, I mean, again, he had to spend time last year, a lot of time last year, apologizing for professionals not playing professionally, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's ugly. It's horrible when you get a bunch of kids in college that don't play together. But when you have professionals that are supposed to be contending for a championship that quit on you and that quit on a city and quit on a franchise, I don't know where you go, especially as a first-year manager. He was in a no-win position. So I wiped the slate clean for Pedro Grifol. I think this helps wipe the slate clean for him. By saying, let the fans decide what they think. I'm not going to tell them what to think.
Well, I think also he learned the hard way about how long your words can linger in a market like Chicago. So when he was introduced on day one back in November of 2022, I believe, and he said that we want to be the team, we're going to show up at 7:10 every night and kick your ass, that was used against him, even though he was as earnest and enthusiastic and acted and sounded like a guy who just got his dream job. And I understand why, after losing 101 times, that he would be a little more cautious with his rhetoric going into season two.
Ironically, I had the first question for him at his press conference, and I got pretty much talked to by people in the organization asking me, why would you ask the question? The question was, Pedro, this team is known as a team that hasn't run out baseballs, okay, mm-hmm. that hasn't give 100%, that we're told not to run baseballs out because of prior injuries, and that, you know, remember the rhetoric of 2022, it was, let's not get injured again, okay? So I got talked to about that, but he answered the question to his credit.
Yeah.
And he said, well, we're going to do that. And, you know,
so that was your fault too.
Yeah. A lot of things are my fault.
I mean, man, you got crochet ticked off at you after one start.
It's and every week here, you know, you're always,
I know,
at me.
Bristling with Bruce. Every Saturday, 9 to 11,
that should be another segment.
There we go. I like it.
Anyway,
alliteration, but we digress.
The point is that to me, he gets a clean slate. Now, how they perform from here, this point on, it's totally on him. It's totally on the coaching staff. We want to see that performance. We want to see the clean baseball they promised. They promised clean baseball. We want to see it.
Game one, they delivered. They lost cleanly. They lost, but it wasn't one of those games where you looked at and there was crisp pitching. I don't think there was anything that stood out for the wrong reasons. They just couldn't hit. You know, Mookie Betts has as many home runs as the White Sox have hits. It's not what you expected, but you also have to give credit to the Tigers. And Skubal was good.
I just don't like the idea that a professional team has to say we're going to play clean baseball. Okay, I don't get it.
Even after last year?
No, I mean, it's like it's expected. They're professional players, okay? They didn't get there yesterday. Maybe some of the newer players got there yesterday, but the point is that
same goes for effort, then. Why would you ever?
They should be the very best of the best available.
Well, why would you ever laud effort, then, if that's expected? Everybody's expected to show up and work hard.
It shouldn't ever come up in professional sports, effort.
Well, something's got to come up. We talk to them twice a day. I mean, if you're a manager,
well,
but you talk before the game.
Well, I mean, if you're trying to fill showtime.
No, I'm not filling showtime, but it's inevitable that you're going to talk about what your goals are, what your expectations are, what your standards are. And if I'm Pedro Grifol and I'm the manager of this White Sox team, I've got no talent, limited talent. I'm going to stress that, you know what? We may be challenged, but there's one thing I can guarantee you each and every night. We're going to play a clean brand of baseball. We're going to catch the ball, and we're going to have our baseball IQ is going to be improved.
I understand that for the White Sox, but I don't understand it in general. I just don't. Every player in Major League Baseball makes $770,000, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're professionals that have proved themselves at some level or many levels at the minor leagues, and they're there playing a game where the ticket prices are high. The fans support every dollar for these sports teams through spending their hard-earned money. I expect a good effort every night from a professional team. I know it's naive to say that, and I know it's not good talk show fodder, but the reality is you should be throwing out a clean game all the time. You can make errors, but you can't make a whole bunch of mental errors. You can't be going after balls, so
that should just
taking
come with,
bad routes.
That should just come with, you know, the territory, right? You should always give a clean brand of baseball.
You can't have Oscar Colas running from sideline to sideline, not knowing where to go, not where to throw the baseball. And he's just one example. I don't put it all on the White Sox or Colas. I'm just saying, when you see things like that from top young players that are supposed to come up and be essential, you know there's something really wrong.
Let's squeeze in a quick phone call from our buddy Ron on the South Side. Good morning, Ron. Welcome inside the clubhouse. What's up, Ron?
Hey, good morning. Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I recall last week, Dave, because you had been talking about Crochet, and we both had wanted to see him, so very, very pleased. But, and, you know, you all hit it, man. I tell you, the worst thing about being a fan, when you look at a team and you just have some veterans that you really hope play well enough to be traded, and stopgap people at short, at second. I don't know about, and you know, I read that about Dominic Fletcher, the best he is a fourth outfielder. And you know what? They can play clean, make no, there is no talent. It's a reason everybody across the board picked this team to only have maybe 65, 6. So it's very difficult, but and you had mentioned it earlier, Bruce. I mean, you find out whether or not your system has some players. I like to see Brian Ramos come up. Maybe some of the other pitchers.
Montgomery.
But for the most part, they went up against a decent pitcher, but it's just no talent there, guys. But you all have a good day.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate you checking in. Yeah, sad but true.
He doesn't pull any punches.
No, he doesn't. Ron tells the truth, and he takes notes.
I wouldn't say there's no talent. There's a limited amount of better-than-average players in the White Sox. Now, the pitching staff, you know, I'm going to go Pollyanna on you here. There's some really interesting arms, including the guy that's going today.
Michael Soroka.
And the guy that went yesterday. Soroka was the top pitching.
We didn't even mention Michael Kopech.
Right. Well,
the Michael Kopech experience. Buckle up, Bruce.
He's my closer. Has been for 4 years.
Interesting. He has to have better command than he did in his first outing, but I do like his stuff because he is electric when he is on. All right, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk Cubs. What did you think of some of the Craig Counsell decisions on day one? We'll discuss it next. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Inside, arching music, a little chin music.
for some chin music.
Hey, Yomp, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
I just tried to put myself in their shoes and see the game as a fan myself. If I was spending my hard-earned money to come to a ball game, right? I don't want to hear about it anymore. I just want to see it on the field. I'll come watch and I'll make a decision whether I like it or not. And that's there's nothing I can say here, that is going to, prove to them something that we haven't done yet on the field. So we got to go out there and play good baseball, and play hard baseball and don't take anything for granted and, show that we care. And I think that's what everybody wants to see, but there's no use talking about it. I mean, I'm not going there anymore. I put myself in their shoes plenty of times.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's a 9.5 Triple E.
What's that? Shoe size?
He put himself in their shoes.
Okay. I didn't know if you were saying that or he put his foot in his mouth. I don't think he did that.
No, I think that's the best soundbite I've ever heard from Pedro Grifol.
So chin music typically may come in high and tight because of something somebody said that we object to. This, to me, is almost the opposite. I think that some people might have objected to Pedro Grifol saying he didn't have a message for the fans and saying what we just heard. But Bruce, I think it was, as I put the other day, it was maybe the smartest thing Pedro Grifol never said.
Yeah, I mean, again, he had to spend time last year, a lot of time last year, apologizing for professionals not playing professionally. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's ugly. It's horrible when you get a bunch of kids in college that don't play together. But when you have professionals that are supposed to be contending for a championship that quit on you and that quit on a city and quit on a franchise, I don't know where you go, especially as a first-year manager. He was in a no-win position. So I wiped the slate clean for Pedro Grifol. I think this helps wipe the slate clean for him. By saying, let the fans decide what they think. I'm not going to tell them what to think.
Well, I think also he learned the hard way about how long your words can linger in a market like Chicago. So when he was introduced on day one back in November of 2022, I believe, and he said that we want to be the team, we're going to show up at 7:10 every night and kick your ass, that was used against him, even though he was as earnest and enthusiastic and acted and sounded like a guy who just got his dream job. And I understand why, after losing 101 times, that he would be a little more cautious with his rhetoric going into season two.
Ironically, I had the first question for him at his press conference, and I got pretty much talked to by people in the organization asking me, why would you ask the question? The question was, Pedro, this team is known as a team that hasn't run out baseballs, okay, mm-hmm. that hasn't give 100%, that we're told not to run baseballs out because of prior injuries, and that, remember the rhetoric of 2022, it was, let's not get injured again, okay? So I got talked
Respect
to about
65.
That.
Respect 65.
I got talked to about that, but he answered the question to his credit.
Yeah.
And he said, well, we're going to do that, and,
So that was your fault, too?
Yeah, a lot of things are my fault.
I mean, man, you got crochet ticked off at you after one start.
And every week here, you're always
screaming
at me.
I know, bristling with Bruce. Every Saturday, 9 to 11.
That should be another segment.
There we go. I like it.
Anyway.
Alliteration, but we digress.
The point is that, to me, he gets a clean slate. Now, how they perform from this point on, it's totally on him. It's totally on the coaching staff. We want to see that performance. We want to see the clean baseball they promised. They promised clean baseball. We want to see it.
Game one, they delivered. They lost cleanly. They lost, but it wasn't one of those games where you looked at and there was crisp pitching. I don't think there was anything that stood out for the wrong reasons. They just couldn't hit. You know, Mookie Betts has as many home runs as the White Sox have hits. It's not what you expected, but you also have to give credit to the Tigers. And Skubal was good.
I just don't like the idea that a professional team has to say we're going to play clean baseball. Okay, I don't get it.
Even after last year?
No, I mean, it's like it's expected. They're professional players, okay? They didn't get there yesterday. Maybe some of the newer players got there yesterday, but the point is that...
Same goes for effort, then. Why would you ever...
They should be the very best of the best available.
Well, why would you ever laud effort, then, if that's expected? Everybody's expected to show up and work hard.
It shouldn't ever come up in professional sports, effort.
Something's got to come up. We talk to them twice a day. I mean, if you're a manager...
Well, if you're trying to fill showtime...
No, I'm not filling showtime, but it's inevitable that you're going to talk about what your goals are, what your expectations are, what your standards are. And if I'm Pedro Grifol and I'm the manager of this White Sox team, I've got no talent, limited talent. I'm going to stress that, you know what, we may be challenged, but there's one thing I can guarantee you each and every night. We're going to play a clean brand of baseball. We're going to catch the ball, and we're going to have our baseball IQ is going to be improved.
I understand that for the White Sox, but I don't understand it in general. I just don't. Every player in Major League Baseball makes $770,000, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're professionals that have proved themselves at some level or many levels at the minor leagues. And they're there playing a game where the ticket prices are high. The fans support every dollar for these sports teams through spending their hard-earned money. I expect a good effort every night from a professional team. I know it's naive to say that, and I know it's not good talk show fodder, but the reality is you should be throwing out a clean game all the time. You can make errors, but you can't make a whole bunch of mental errors. You can't be going after balls,
that should just
taking
come with,
bad routes.
That should just come with, you know, territory, right? You should always give a
clean
brand
of baseball.
You
can't have Oscar Colas running from sideline to sideline, not knowing where to go, not where to throw the baseball. And he's just one example. I don't put it all on the White Sox or Colas. I'm just saying, when you see things like that from top young players that are supposed to come up and be essential, you know there's something really wrong.
Let's squeeze in a quick phone call from our buddy Ron on the South Side. Good morning, Ron. Welcome inside the clubhouse. What's up, Ron?
Hey, good morning. Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I recall last week, Dave, because you had been talking about Crochet, and we both had wanted to see him, so very, very pleased. But, and you know, you all hit it, man. I tell you, the worst thing about being a fan, when you look at a team and you just have some veterans that you really hope play well enough to be traded and stopgap people at short, at second. I don't know about, and you know, I read that about Dominic Fletcher, the best he is a fourth outfielder. And you know what? They can play clean, make no, there is no talent. It's a reason everybody across the board picked this team and only have maybe 65, 6. So it's very difficult, but and you had mentioned it earlier, Bruce. I mean, you find out whether or not your system has some players. I like to see Brian Ramos come up, maybe some of the other pitchers.
Montgomery.
But for the most part, what we saw, yeah, they went up against a decent pitcher, but it's just no talent there, guys. You all have a good day.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate you checking in. Yeah, sad but true.
He doesn't pull any punches.
No, he doesn't. Ron tells the truth. And he takes notes.
I wouldn't say there's no talent. There's a limited amount of
receipts
of better than average players in the White Sox. Now, the pitching staff, you know, I'm going to go Pollyanna on you here. There's some really interesting arms, including the guy that's going today.
Michael Soroka.
And the guy that went yesterday. Soroka was the top pitching.
We didn't even mention Michael Kopech.
Right. Well,
the Michael Kopech experience. Buckle up, Bruce.
He's my closer, has been for 4 years.
Interesting. He has to have better command than he did in his first outing, but I do like his stuff because he is electric when he is on. All right, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk Cubs. What did you think of some of the Craig Council decisions on day one? We'll discuss it next. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.